And the gospel lesson is from Mark chapter 4. Actually, we're going back one from last couple weeks. And we'll be reading about the seeds, the parable of the mustard seed. And so if you'd like to read along, we're reading out of the NIV. And this is the parable of the growing seed and then the mustard seed. Jesus also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come." Again, he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like, or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you plant in the ground. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds of the air can perch in its shade." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable unto you, O Lord, our strength, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. And so, you know I love humor, right? Humor's good medicine, praise God. And sometimes when you have humor, it's just to open somebody up so the Word of God can just find a home in there, kind of like a seed in fertile soil, amen? And so levity would be the theological term, right? And Joel Osteen always starts his sermons with, "I'd like to begin with something funny, a little something funny." And so I'll start with a little story where I heard about this airplane that was about to crash, and there were four passengers, but only three parachutes. The first passenger said, "I'm a leading heart surgeon. My patients need me." And so he grabbed the first parachute and he jumped. The second passenger said, "I'm a rocket scientist. I'm one of the smartest men in the world. My country needs me." And he took the second parachute and he jumped. The third passenger was Pope Francis. And he said to the fourth passenger, a 10-year-old Boy Scout, "Son, I'm a Christian. I follow Jesus. I know where I'm going. I'm going to heaven. And I'm old and I'm frail. So you take the last parachute." And the Boy Scout said to Pope Francis, "That's okay, sir. There's still two parachutes left. The world's smartest man just jumped out with my backpack." I guess that can segue to we walk by faith, not by sight. And the fact that in fact, Mike Sams, our lay leader, and it was in many papers, including the USA Today, that they did a study that proves, they interviewed thousands of people and tracked them for a number of years, that if you go to church and you practice your faith, you will live 4 years longer than someone who doesn't. Can I hear an amen? See, you just being here right now, you're gaining 4 years of life. Now, that's pretty powerful. Really, that is like, thank you, God. But it's true, and there's all reasons why that could possibly be the case. But faith works, amen? And faith, it's not just quantity. It's not just years lived. It's quality. Earl and Connie will tell you that, praise God. I'll try not to talk about you guys too much for the rest of the service. But I just think it's a proven fact that if you have faith, that you will live longer and healthier. You'll not only live longer, you'll be happier, more fulfilled. And so that segues to the metaphor of we walk by faith, not by sight. And I love that metaphor that faith is like walking. And God bless walking. Never take for granted that you can walk if you're able to walk, and many can't. But it's a great metaphor because life is a journey. You never will ever be in the same spot. Right now, at this very moment, it's going to be different tomorrow, right? So today I want you to think about how important it is to walk by faith. You are aging, right? You can't stop that. Right, Earl and Connie? I can just keep segueing back to you guys. But you can know your destination, your pilgrimage, if you walk by faith. It's a wonderful short statement of faith. And you notice that Paul writes, we walk by faith, because he's talking to the early church in Corinth. It's not I walk by faith, it's we walk by faith. It's not a solo faith. We are in this together, helping each other walk by faith, not by sight. But how beautiful it is when you say, we walk by faith. Meaning no matter what you're seeing in life that can be difficult and challenging, you are keeping your eyes upon the prize of your salvation. You are actually keeping your eyes on heaven. And it's a pilgrimage to heaven. And you celebrate, nothing will separate us from the love of Christ. Amen? Nothing, nothing, nothing. And so today I want you to think about, where are you in the faith on this Father's Day? How is your walk of faith? I love the whole idea of walking with Jesus. Jesus is walking with me. It makes you think of the walk to Emmaus scripture. But where are you? Is he close? Are you walking with Jesus every single day? Evaluate that as we move along in this message. And because it's important to lift up the men of faith today, because it's Father's Day, and how desperate our world needs men of faith, amen, to be examples for all young people, whatever age those young people might be. I'm 55, and I have a lot of people that say, you're just a whippersnapper, you're just getting going. And I do look, I look towards other men of faith who are living out the faith, that are walking by faith, even going through difficult times. But so since it's Father's Day, I think I'll lift up this message. Now, years ago, and I don't know the date, when men used to be in a waiting room when their children were born, and there would be a delivery room, and the men were kicked out, and they sat together, right? I don't know what year. Someone can tell me, when did that change? But there was a day when that was pretty common. You weren't in the room, in the delivery room, so you had to wait. And so there were four men in the hospital waiting room because their wives were having babies, and so a nurse comes up to the first guy and says, congratulations, you're the father of twins. And the man goes, that's odd. I work for the Minnesota Twins. Then a nurse comes to the second guy and says, congratulations, you're the father of triplets. And the guy goes, that's strange. That's so weird. I work for the 3M company. A nurse tells the third man, congratulations, you're the father of quadruplets. And the man says, well, that is just bizarre. That's amazing. I work for the Four Seasons Hotel. And the last man is seen groaning and hitting his head against the wall, and the nurse comes up, what's wrong? He goes, I work for 7-Up. I had to share that one. But how beautiful it is that we look at the kingdom of God like a seed, the potential in a seed. But it is the relationship that we have to take the seed of faith, like a mustard seed, if it's planted. And it says, if it's planted. But there's still a mystery within a seed, that God does what God does in our hearts if we walk by faith. And I love the scripture, really, it does go together. 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith, not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:17, just add 10 verses, and you're at one of my favorite verses. If anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old is gone, and the new has come. Amen? So, if someone told me once, I gave my life to Christ, and I'm walking with the Lord in faith, and I can't believe that all my coworkers are now so nice. And I said, it's not them, it's you. It's your attitude, it's your outlook. It's the way that you're handling conflict and difficulty now, and the challenges that come. It's not easy. In fact, Jesus never promised our walk of faith was going to be an easy walk. But this, like anything, my dad taught me, anything that's worthwhile is going to take effort. It's not going to be easy. And it reminds me of the story of John Wesley years ago. The founder of the Methodist Church was walking along a country path with a man that's stressed out and worried, and he's doubtful whether God really loves him or not. And John Wesley hears that, you know, that the man is troubled. And at the very same moment, John Wesley saw a cow. He saw a cow looking over a stone wall. And Wesley says, do you know why that cow was looking over the stone wall? And the man says, no. And Wesley says, the cow is looking over the wall because she cannot see through it. That is what you must do with your wall of trouble. You have to see over it and look over it through faith, focusing on Jesus. I love that the people in Corinth are hearing this message because we need it as much today as they did. And it's a small church in the city of Corinth. It's 5 times larger than Athens in those days. Actually, it says 15 times larger. It's a huge metropolis. It's sort of, in a sense, like Las Vegas. And people are drawn there because there's all these different pagan temples to every god you can imagine. And it is alluring to the eyes. And they're struggling with what they see, with walking by faith, not by sight. And so he's encouraging them. And it's powerful because when I think of Corinthian, I think of Ricardo Montalban. Kathy, do you nod your head? Do you remember that commercial years ago for the Chrysler Cordoba? It's all coming back to you now. And he says, my name is Ricardo Montalban. And this car has rich Corinthian leather. And you know that he was interviewed by David Letterman once, and Ricardo Montalban says, I have no idea what Corinthian leather means. They just added that name to make it sound more luxurious. And you know that the word Corinthianize in the days when Paul wrote this was a verb that was used to describe anything of terrible immorality. Anything that was just off the rails with immorality was called Corinthianized. And so I only lift that up because he's trying to reach these folks that are trying to stay faithful in the face of great temptation. And he's saying there's more to life than what meets the eye. And tell me what inspires you more. Someone who's gone through a terrible time and has to persevere, but they're full of faith, full of love, full of joy and peace, than someone who's miserable and probably has everything of the world's, and yet they don't have a relationship with the risen Lord Jesus. What inspires us is people that overcome. And so I segue this into the story of Judy Mahan last week at the 9 o'clock service. Maybe some of you are here. And in the middle of the Children and Youth Sunday, when Miranda Slingluff is about to sing a song titled, It Is Well With My Soul, and it's a full house, we hear people yelling, wait, wait, is there a doctor? Is there a nurse? And it's because Judy was overwhelmed with anxiety and just sort of just felt weak and worn and laid down in the pew. And she was white. She had lost her color. And so I said, call 911. And it was beautiful that the EMTs came in and they were working on her. And I came up to Miranda and I said, are you able to still sing? And I looked at the band. I said, are you able to still play? Because Judy is such a faithful woman of God that your song, It Is Well With My Soul, will minister to her as the EMTs. And it was funny, this morning, Jeff Ward said, one of the EMTs said to him, I didn't think I was coming to church this morning. I haven't been in a long time. And he started looking at the roof, thinking it was going to come in, cave in. But as they were working on her and calming her down and trying to check her vital signs, Miranda, she's a junior at Algonquin Regional High School, and she took a deep breath, and she sang, It Is Well With My Soul. It's on Facebook if you want to see it. It's so beautiful. And the backstory behind this is that I called Judy later on. In fact, she was ministered to by the EMTs, and she felt well enough. She came back in and sat in the back in the narthex for the rest of the service. And we welcomed her back and clapped. And she told me later, she said, these episodes just kind of come on me. There's no rhyme or reason. But she said, I would rather not be anywhere else for when this happens than be right here in God's house. Can I hear an amen? Because, you know, faith is not an easy thing. Anybody who tells you that it is, that once you give your life to Christ and everything else is peaceful and wonderful, in fact, is more challenge. The devil doesn't want to let go of you. But Paul is telling us that even death itself And people were concerned about it then as today. Even death will not separate us from Christ. And he says, if our earthly tent is destroyed, then we have a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. That you don't have to have death be this great fear that overwhelms you. When you give your life to Christ, you are a new creation. You are walking in faith, not in sight. And that's hard. Wherever you are in life right now, there's going to be times when you say, where are you, God? I don't see you. But I pray today you can say, I need to invest in this faith. I need to take the seed of my faith and just give it to God and not miss. Can you promise me that you'll make Crossroads this summer? And I looked out. I didn't know how many people were going to be here this morning. And 60 people. Amen. Last year, and there are some folks that can't get up to get to the 9 o'clock. So, I mean, if I'm going to preach, if there's 6 people here in church, never mind 60 people. But if you commit yourself to getting to worship and studying the word and praying, asking of God for help, you know, really we call 911 spiritually every Sunday, don't we? Judy needed it physically. But there's always somebody in the congregation that we're calling upon the name of the Lord to minister to them spiritually. And so I hope you can be revived. But the story behind It Is Well With My Soul, to quickly tell you, and in a way it's behind the song I Can Only Imagine, where this man who's 18 years old, and how can his father say, you know, as much as I'd like to be here with you on earth, I'd rather be with God in heaven when the time comes. And at 18, how can my dad say that? My dad said that too. But I wasn't 18 when he died. And so this man worked this through and can only imagine what heaven will be like. And so the man that wrote this beautiful hymn, It Is Well With My Soul, that says, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. He wrote this after his 4 daughters drowned at sea. And his wife and he traveled out to the location where the ship went down and where they drowned. And that song came to him and he wrote it down. And it's touched people's hearts for years and years and years. Page 377, it's the song right before Amazing Grace. And when Miranda sang that, Judy was hearing it and it was helping her. Just be calm. What we see in life can be very difficult. I went to Carrie Beecher's service. She died at the age of 55, and she suffered the last 6 years with a terrible brain disease that debilitated her, and it had Alzheimer's-like symptoms, and she didn't know David's name and didn't recognize him or her daughters. But this week, down in Madison, Connecticut, at the Congregational Church, we celebrated her life. We were not going to let this disease win. That she's fully restored in heaven. And Carrie loved to play tennis. She was very competitive and loved to win a match and play all out and be intense, have tenacity. And I said that we have to have that in faith, that we don't let something cloud our heart vision, that God is with us and God gives us abundant and eternal life, that nothing will separate us. And so if we can pull up the last symbol, which I learned, my kids, in fact, I'm not one for tattoos, but in fact, one of my kids, I won't tell you who, wants this as a tattoo. Can you tell me, probably Ethan maybe can remember, what does this mean, this symbol? The G stands for God. The next symbol is greater than. God is greater than your highs and your lows. I want you to remember this symbol, because God can be that constant in your life when times are hard. Whether you're really high and doing great, you praise God maybe. Maybe you forget to. But if you remember that you walk by faith, not by sight, you trust that God is with you through it all. And so this is a symbol that I want you to remember. You don't have to get a tattoo. But that God is greater than the highs and the lows. And so you're going to live more than 4 years if you have faith. But God's going to bless all of your years and for all eternity with a relationship that will meet every challenge, every difficulty, that Jesus took your sin and your hopelessness and your lack of faith to the cross and said, I love you long before you ever even knew it or accepted it. But today I ask you, we're going to segue to our prayer time. It's about that time. I want you to just believe, you know, this past week I meet some characters in life, you know, as I'm Pastor John, and I met somebody and they just started a witness to me. It was just so beautiful. And all he did was this, which was interesting. He said, oh, I believe, actually, yes, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. He said, put your hand out. And I said, okay. And he said, blow on it. Did you see that or did you feel that? And I said, I felt it. He said, that's the Holy Spirit. As long as you can blow on your hand, you can remember how you don't see the Holy Spirit, but you feel it. And God will bless you. And I said, I'm sharing that in church. So we're going to go to our prayer time. Are there prayers that people like to lift up? Yep. Jennifer, please share.
I just want to lift up my husband.
Yes.
Not actually for a relationship, but for being an amazing husband to me.
Amen.
He walked with me about the cross.
Yes.
And yesterday was a very difficult day with her. I am not great at dealing with it, but help my hand to walk through it.
Amen.
And without him, not really
trying
to get
through it. So. Amen. Amen. Jen's mom's been battling Alzheimer's in a long time, and she just thanks God for Mike to be able to be there and love her. And we want to pray for your dad, too. He's so faithful. And we lifted up David Beecher, who lived out those vows as your dad does every day, for better, for worse, for richer, poor, or sickness and in health. In fact, one thing I said at the service was, David, we're praising you for how you just love Carrie. And he said, I love her more now than ever. In these 7 years of caring for her, doing everything for her. And I said, David, you know what? She would have done the same thing for you. And he let the tears just come. So, and other prayers this morning to lift up? Praise God. Praise God. I'd like to lift up celebration for Earl and Connie for being here. In fact, someone said, Earl and Connie won't be here today. Their party yesterday wore them out. And I said, I think they said they were coming to the 10:30. I'm so glad that you, even though worn out, you said, I got to get to church. And their son Guy is with us today. And it's just, what's the good word, Guy? Can you tell us anything? Gratitude, gratitude, grace upon grace upon grace. Thank you, Guy, for that word. So let's, in fact, I mentioned at the early service, I met the folks across the street, little Wesley. And we just want to ask a blessing upon this young couple that you invited that live across the street from Earl and Connie. They came to the party and we were passing around this little baby. It was the cutest thing. Whose baby is this? I don't know. Just keep passing and find out. It's little Wesley. Another Wesley is born in the world. Praise God. So let's bow our heads. Let's. Oh, Mike had one more thought. We had one over here.
You.
Please, yes.
I was just going to say, we're sending kids out to summer camps.
Oh,
7 weeks.
Yes.
So
summer camps, that's a long, yes. Bring a devotion book. Just trust God's with you in that. Call home. Do FaceTime. Maybe that can help too. Well, God's going to be that link. God answers knee-mail, is the old saying. Yes.
I'm very thankful.
Maynard?
My son Mark came up to see us as a baby.
Amen.
On Father's Day.
His wife, Harry. Welcome. Amen.
My other son, 10 years older than
Mark. That's right.
Mark, that he would be very disturbed. He couldn't come. But he can't because his wife is in bed, very bad.
Maynard's daughter-in-law needs our prayers. Amen. And when I think of those, when we think of the immigrants down on the border and how many children have been separated from their parents or fathers, just lifting up our government to be compassionate. Amen. In that whole process. So, yes, Laurencia would like to say a prayer.
Yeah.
Laurencia would like us to pray for her children. Amen. Thank you, Laurencia. Praise God. God answers prayer. The prayers of a righteous person are powerful and effective. Amen. Ask people to pray with you too, Laurencia. Just do what you've done. Just open up and seek out a brother or sister. So let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we bow our heads because we love you and we know you love us. And there might be a soul here today who's facing the storm. The water's rising, it's beating against the house. May they hear your word and put it into practice so the house stands firm. For we walk by faith, not by sight. And help those who don't see you in those difficult days to hang on, to keep trusting and believing in the power of the resurrection, that the seed can grow. If it's dormant, Lord, come and nurture it. Bring fertile soil in our lives. Your word, your Holy Spirit, that your grace would water upon us and bring about growth in faith, discipleship in faith. We thank you for Paul's word that says, your love compels us. We thank you, God, that Paul says to give of yourself, to find yourself. Thank you for your word that he says, if we're out of our minds, if people think we're crazy for you, God. And we know that we're countercultural, we're going against the way of society, and we pray for men to be responsible and to be loving and kind. And men even who don't have children can be within a church and be a father figure for those who are hungry for a dad. Thank you for dads who are dads because they said yes to adoption or fostering. Thank you for forgiving us our mistakes in fatherhood, that we could be born again and be new creatures, new creations in you, and that the old is gone, the new has come. So bless your message to us today, that we could walk with you, just walk with you, and that you would listen and speak with us. We know life is a journey. It's a pilgrimage. May we know we're heading to heaven. We know that every day is an opportunity to experience your grace and share your grace for those who are hurting in this world. God bless the Crossroads service, the musicians, and those who are seeking to just bring your word out into the world. So those who are hurting would come to know your grace. Just like Guy sharing with us today that was so loved, so wonderful, the grace, the blessings that people of faith can see and experience. So Lord, bless all of our prayers. And thank you, God, for being with us in those times that are so hard, that we would know that you have prepared a place for us in heaven, that nothing will ever get in the way of that. And so all this we lift to you with great thanksgiving as we pray your prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. 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 Let's sing now. Let's stand and sing together. My heart is filled with thankfulness.